We're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." That is the word of the Lord. And this is that in response to what our God has done 2,000 years ago in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, who came down upon the disciples while they were in that upper room, and he filled the whole house. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And suddenly there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each and every one of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. This is that. It began with the birth of the New Testament church. This is that that has gone on throughout time and shall continue until all things conclude. This is the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It is not mere antics. It is not just emotionalism. It is not just fanaticism. It is demonstration. It is in response to the very presence and essence of God being in our midst, what you see before you this day. Is what took place in that upper room. And there's more to come. This is not all. There's so much more to come. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the hearts of men, those things that God has prepared for us, but God has revealed them to us by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is saying, this isn't all. This is not all of it. There's more to come. Allow him to enlarge your borders and stretch out your tent pegs and move you out of your comfort zone and take control and lead you into the pathway and plan of Almighty God. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You are my sons and daughters. I have begotten you. You are my hidden treasure in the earth, yet to be revealed to mankind. For many of you, you've come from a long distance, from the place where life drove you to, but I have drawn you unto myself, and I am taking you under my wings, and I am infusing you with my mighty power, and my outstretched arm is over you. And I say unto you that better days are ahead for you.
Jesus.
I say unto you, look up.
Yes.
I say unto you, lift up your head. I say unto you, lift up those hands and embrace what I have planned for you. My purpose cannot be denied. My purpose cannot be made void. I call those things that be not as though they are, because when I say it, it is. None can reverse it. So this day you celebrate. You celebrate my goodness. You celebrate my salvation. You celebrate my son. You celebrate my spirit. This day you celebrate. Let it be unto you a day of celebration. For better things are still in store for you. And Father, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We say, no rock will cry out in our place this day. We say, Lord God, we will give you unbridled praise. We will give you radical praise. We will give you exuberant praise. Lord God, we will magnify your name in this house, in this place. For you alone are great, and you are greatly to be praised. So we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints of God said amen. And amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah.
Woo.
Glory. Go ahead and greet your neighbors. Hallelujah. To your left, to your right, in front and behind. Tell him hi. Tell him you're glad they're here. Good to see him. Wouldn't be the same without him. Hallelujah. Tell him there's a fire in this place, and there's no way of escape.
There's a fire
Hallelujah. There are no fire exits. Ah! Don't be looking for stairs to get out of this place. A fire that cannot be quenched. A fire that cannot be stopped. Well, happy Pentecost Sunday, everyone. So good to see all of you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give it up for Jesus and let's continue the celebration of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can move it back some. Yeah, praise God. I didn't say take it that far. No. That's good. I'm so thankful and grateful to the grace of God that whether we've done good or whether we've done bad, he still pours out his grace. Amen. Even in a fix, we can find out, like Paul, his grace is sufficient for us. We can be under a tremendous attack of the enemy, and God still says, my grace is sufficient for you. We can be on a deathbed with one last breath left, and God will still say, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Sometimes we have to go through some things in order to know firsthand and experience firsthand the power of God. Hallelujah. And so I'm just rejoicing in what the Father's doing. I was watching my man of God, and, you know, I believe some attacks are, you know, from things that we do, and then some attacks are from the adversary. My man of God, Pastor Rob Parsley, he was, today was the first day that he's preached in regular shoes and without a chair. And it wasn't that I was copying him or anything like that. I was dealing with an infirmity that I knew I had the victory over. I knew God was still God. I didn't question his healing power or his delivering power. I didn't say, why is this happening to me, in the sense of, why me, Lord? It's like, it's just something to deal with. And I thank you from the depths of my heart for each and every one of you that have been praying and even trying to lay hands on my knees to make sure that they, you know. Yeah, I had a brother the other day tell me, I could say it. He won't say it because he doesn't need to. He says, but I'm fasting. And one of the reasons is for healing in your knees. And that just so blessed me. I came home and shared that with Pastor Lucia because that blessed me. That means he went to another level. I want to see the man of God healed completely in his knees. And so it wasn't like it was a crisis, but it was a matter that was I don't want it to damage your faith because it didn't damage mine, but also I wanted to be able to get rid of that thing, because I don't believe, because I'm going on 55, that I have to deal with the infirmities that come along with age. Amen. Praise God. I believe with long life, God will satisfy me and show me his salvation. So I claim the precious promises of God, and I hold fast until I see the manifestation of it. And so Wednesday night, I just said, I'm not going to do the chair. I scooted the chair back. And wouldn't you know it, a precious sister by the name of Sister Letty noticed it right away. You're not sitting down. And I'm like, praise God. And then when I saw my man of God this today, and he's wearing regular shoes, and I'm like, amen. Because I believe to some degree, for me personally, I was doing something. I got happy with what I was doing. I was exercising on the treadmill, and I got happy. Praise God. You know, when you haven't exercised in a while and you used to exercising, and then you get up there and then you start to feeling good, and it's like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And you're going and going, and then all of a sudden your knees say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. You didn't weigh as much as you used to. Stop. I mean, you didn't weigh as much then as you do now. Stop. Give us a break. And I kept going because it's like, no pain, no gain. And they're like, okay. 2 months later. But anyways, so some of it can be from that. Some of it can be an attack of the enemy. But then also of it, I can talk. I really can. Also, the weight of God's glory and the increase of his anointing. Because when his glory and his anointing manifest in full measure, you ain't going to be standing up like you're standing up now. You're either going to be flat on your face, flat on your back, down on your knees, weeping and crying. But everything is not going to be status quo and as normal. And so I believe that there's an increase of God's glory and his anointing that is being released and manifest in our midst. And we don't want to take that lightly or for granted. We don't want to ignore it. We want to embrace it, relish, cherish it. Not just to say that we're anointed. Not just to say that God's glory, oh man, it's all over the place. The cloud is in the place. It's the reason why the anointing increases. It's the reason why the glory increases. And that is to transform lives. That is to bring about change. That is to turn a nation, turn a city, turn a world upside down. God wants to do a mighty move in this hour. We're not here by accident. By that, I don't just mean here at 1793 Vineyard Drive. You may be seated because I might be into the message by now. And some of you, your knees are probably saying, can we sit, please? But the anointing, the glory, is released to honor the King, released to demonstrate to a world that is in darkness that there is a marvelous light that they need to come into, to draw people to Jesus, to save all humanity. God is not interested in us becoming the next billionaire, millionaire, trillionaire. He's not. He's interested in a family. He's interested in fruit. He's interested in seeing his kingdom expanded and enlarged in the earth. He's interested in snatching souls out of the pit of hell. He's interested in setting the captives free. Hallelujah. We live in a crazed world. A world that is doing everything within its own heart to do. Whatever they want to do within their heart, that's what they do. And the church just gets all in the way. But see, we just can't get in the way and just get in the way. We got to get in the way and make a difference. And the only way we can make a difference is by the power, by the anointing, and by the glory of God that he releases upon us in order to let the world know that he is God, and besides him, there is no other. Does that make sense? This is what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is all about Jesus having come to this earth for 33 and a half years. For 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of his life, he spent teaching 12 men, and one of them was a devil, imparting to 70 others as well to let them experience and taste the power of God. He came to preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom because the Father wanted to redeem mankind back to himself. It's still the heart and mind of God that none perish, but all come to repentance. That's the heart and mind of God. From the day that Adam willfully transgressed against God, from the day that Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, from the day that Adam and Eve fell into the plan of the devil, God had the plan of redemption in heart and in mind. And he said, there's going to come a day of reckoning. There's going to come a day when the seed of the woman is going to crush the seed of the serpent. There's going to come a day where I will do a work in the earth that is going to pay the sin debt for the entire world, past, present, and future. And it's going to be worked through my son. And all who put their trust in him, they will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life. You know, when you're hanging out with the one who owns everything, you really don't have to be concerned about anything. Because of Jesus, we get the role with the Father. We get the role with Jesus. We get the role with the Holy Ghost. We really don't have a worry or concern for anything because our God has everything. It's only when we think in our hearts and think in our minds and believe that we're lacking something that all of a sudden we start to stray away and start to act as if we're in want or in need. But really, we got everything at our disposal. Why? Because we have God on our side. He's with us and he's for us. He's not against us. Amen? Everybody agree with that? Okay. So God sent Jesus in order to redeem the whole world, that the world through Christ would be saved and come back into relationship and fellowship with the Father. God made no plan of redemption for the devil. He made no plan of redemption for demons. So the very source and father of lies, the very one who has made the earth to tremble, the very one that calls man to fall out of alignment with the will and plan of God, there is no plan of redemption for him. When God finally deals him his final blow, that's it. You'll never have to deal with another devil ever again. But unfortunately, many will perish with him because they will reject the plan of God, who made it so simple for the entire world to understand. The gospel is not complicated. It is very plain and simple. It is only when we start to inject the complexities of this life that have come as a result of the sinful nature of man in his quest for knowledge. There were two trees that were in the garden. There was a tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, and there was a tree of life. Had Adam and Eve eaten of the tree of life, eternity, bliss, no sin, no devil to worry about, no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. But instead, they ran after knowledge, which is what we run after today. The tree of life is always better than the tree of knowledge. Knowledge may make you feel good about yourself, may impress others, but it does not impress God. God is about life. And so this whole thing that we're celebrating, I call it a thing not to belittle it, but this whole thing of Pentecost is all a part of God's plan. Because God, through his Son, paid the price for sin for all mankind, and made the way of salvation back to God. But then Jesus said this. He says, I've got to go, but I'm going to send another in my place. Another just like me. He will be with you and he will be in you. If I don't go, he will not come. But if I go, I'll send him. He was speaking to the disciples of his day, to those that believed in him. Even though they had their faults and failures, even though they weren't as perfected in the faith as they should have been because they had Jesus, right? I mean, they had the living Jesus physical form right before their very eyes, and they still blew it. But in spite of that, Jesus was teaching them and telling them what was to come, and he says, tarry in Jerusalem, wait there until you be endued with power. Now he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to God's future sons and daughters. He's speaking to those who are of the kingdom. And he says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. John baptized with water unto repentance. But you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so we celebrate this great day of Pentecost because we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, who did not come, as you see in your bulletin, quietly. The history of the Jews, they would celebrate this time as a feast of weeks, the feast of first fruits, the feast of harvest, if you will. But it was also in commemoration and celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, because 50 days after they came out of Egypt, they were up there at the mount. They were down at the foot. Moses was up top, and God descended on that mount. And in Exodus chapter 19, around verse 16, it says the mountain smoked because God descended in fire. And so they had the law to govern themselves by for all of those years up until the time that Jesus came. They had the Torah, if you will. They had the prophets, if you will, to lead and guide them. But then Jesus says, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came, He didn't descend on Mount Moriah. No, I take that back. He didn't descend on Mount Sinai. But what we believe is that he descended on Mount Moriah. What we believe is that he descended at the place where David said, grant me the sight of this threshing floor that I may build an altar unto it, unto the Lord. And David wanted to build God a house, but God says, you shed too much blood. You won't do it, but your son Solomon will. But David said, this is the place. And then Solomon built that temple. And it was in that area in Jerusalem, in that region, that the Holy Ghost came down in that upper room. And the scripture says he came first as a mighty rushing wind. So that was the manifestation. All of a sudden, gusts of wind just start blowing, and it's filling the whole house where everybody is sitting. Just like we're sitting here today. All of a sudden, we don't have any wind effects over there, but just imagine, if you will, the Holy Ghost coming in manifestation and just filling this whole house. And then it says that cloven tongues of fire came and sat on each one of them. Our picture and image of sitting on them is this little flickering flame on top of their heads, because that's how we belittle the Holy Ghost. We give him just that little place in our lives. And so we see this like flickering flame. And because of pictures and images that we've seen in times past, that's what we equate it to. But I'd like to do a little demonstration before you. Amen? I'm going to use Jacob and Desiree. I'm going to ask Sister Desiree if she would just stand up real quick for me. Okay. She's like, what are you going to do? Would you just go right here, stop right there, and would you just go and sit on Christian? Just go sit on him. Where did she go? Now, don't y'all go anywhere with this. This is, you know, we don't advertise this. This is not for husband and wives to do. This is just an illustration for illustrative purposes only, okay? What did she do? Where do we picture the flame of the Holy Ghost? On the head. Why? When, stay there just one moment, there's a story that goes like this. There's this daughter who, or granddaughter, I guess you could call it, forgive me if I don't quote it right, who would bake bread, and so when she baked the bread, or before she would put it in the oven, she cut the ends off, and then she put it in the oven. So her husband says, honey, why do you cut the ends off before you put it in the oven? I don't know, because mama did it that way. So they go to mama. Mama does the same thing. Mama, why do you cut the ends off bread before you put it in the oven? Or maybe it's a roast, I don't know. I don't know, because my mother did it. So they go to grandmother. Why do you cut the ends off before you put it in the oven? Well, because back in our day, the ovens were so small that we couldn't get the whole thing in there, so we cut the ends off to make it fit. And so from one generation to the next generation, they held fast to the tradition, even though the tradition itself no longer applied. And so we see the Holy Ghost as this little flickering flame that just comes and sits. But Jesus says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Some of us might equate baptism to sprinkling. Just a sprinkle on the head. Some still do that today. Some of us, we believe in dunking. Amen. We want to get everything saved. Stay down there. Let me up, let me up. All right, you're saved now. Praise God. We got all a lot of you. It's in the water. And then some, they just, you know, that kind of thing, dip. But baptizo means to emerge into something. And when the Holy Ghost came in that room, it says that he sat upon each one of them. They had fire in their lap. They had fire all over them. And they're looking at each other and saying, you on fire. No, you on fire. No, you on fire. You on fire. All in the same room. They're still in the upper room. Nobody's looking at Ken and saying, Ken, what are you doing? That's not of God. That's of the devil. You shouldn't be doing that. Stop it. Ken was over there. Ken didn't look at Randy and say, Randy, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? That's not right. That's of the devil. Stop it. Brother Randy's over there. Randy looks over at Sister Shanice and she's, stop it, Sister Shanice. You shouldn't be doing that. That's of the devil. You're drunk. You're drunk. You did just like Hannah. You're drunk. And it's just, why? Because the Holy Ghost came and sat on all of them. And there was no disagreement. There were no arguments. There was no division, no strife. If you look at it, it says they were all in one place and they were of one accord. That was the church. That's where we got our start as a New Testament church. It wasn't until they started going out the doors, because the people didn't come in that room where they were. They went down. Once they got the power, because what did Jesus say? Stay in Jerusalem till you be endured with power. And the thing of it is, they knew that they were endured with power. This is it. This is it. We're ready to go out now. We're ready to take a city. We're ready to take Jerusalem. We're ready to speak to these people. They're coming from all over the place. We've been scattered all over the world. No different languages. So they go outside. And they infiltrate. And they're going out. And Ken's over here. Randy's over here. And Shanice is over here. It may be humorous. I'm not trying to be funny. But I'm just trying to do a different little dialect, if you will. Okay? None of them learned it in the upper room. None of them had a problem with it while they were in the upper room. It was only until they came outside where the people were, who were not in the house, and the Holy Ghost did not come and sit on them. So when the Holy Ghost comes and sits on you, he's going to make you different than people around you. But you can't be moved by that. You must receive what Jesus said we need. Now, you don't have to receive. But for the believer, it is an absolute must. Well, how can I get out of this then if I don't have to do it? Now, you ain't got to do nothing, Bubba. You ain't got to believe. You don't have to do anything. You can keep going on in a weak, defeated life if you want to. I don't brag or boast on myself or Pastor Lucia or any of the other leaders here in this house, but I do have this kind of confidence that people that are raised up in this place, wherever they go, if they open up under the unction and the anointing that's on this house, if they open up out there, it is going to command attention. First thing people are going to ask you, what church do you go to? You speak with such boldness, you got such freedom. Where do you go to? Why? Because we had some old dried up church and we ain't did nothing like that. And we ain't even heard that there was something like that. Praise God. Preaching better than your response, but it's okay. Okay, you can be. We don't want them to get to. They playing favorites. There's nepotism. Now, here's. Yeah, no. You can go out there and you can just be yourself, or you can let the Holy Ghost come upon you and make you into who he wants you to be for Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to force this on you. Jesus didn't force it on the 120. They were all ready to receive. They listened to the teaching. They didn't fully understand everything. They didn't understand that Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross. And he says, we're about to go to Jerusalem. The chief priests, scribes are going to take me and they're going to crucify me. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. What do you mean by that? Next day, we're about to go to Jerusalem. The chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, they're going to crucify me and bury me, and on the third day I'm going to rise. What is he talking about? And then day three, we're about to go to Jerusalem, and the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they're all going to crucify me on a cross, but they're going to bury me, and 3 days I will rise from the dead. They didn't understand until Jesus was on that cross crucified. Oh! And so then they see him crucified, then they think all hope is gone. But 3 days later, when he came out of the grave, and Mary Magdalene run into the grave along with the other Mary, they come to the grave early in the morning. They're on their way to the grave, and they're like, who gonna move the tomb? I don't know, but let's keep on going anyways. And when they get to the tomb, when they get there, the stone is rolled away, and then they're like, where's Jesus? He's not here. He has risen as he said he would. So whether we believe things or not, that doesn't make it null and void. But Jesus says, tarry in Jerusalem. So they were there in that assembly. They were there in that place. Give me just 7 more minutes. Today I stop. I didn't say when. I just said today I stop. But anyways, they stayed in that room. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost, and he empowered them. Then they went down, and they went out. And they're all speaking in this heavenly language. They didn't know all they. The Holy Ghost sat on them. They were empowered, and they released what it was that the Holy Ghost was bringing out of them. It says that the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They spoke, but the Spirit was giving them the utterance. How much more do we need that now today, that the Spirit of God will speak through us instead of we speaking through us? Amen. People need Jesus. And Jesus says, this is how they're going to get me. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I'm not only going to come upon you, but I'm going to be on the inside of you by way of my Spirit. And the Holy Ghost is the one that enables us to do the impossible. So they come out. All of a sudden, they get mocked. You stand up for Jesus. And you get mocked. Well, we're all in good company. Hello? That don't mean we're doing something wrong. It could very well mean we're doing something right. They start mocking us. Next thing you know, they're drunk. And so then they start saying, so what church you go to? Oh, you go to that church. Well, we don't do that around here. These are the kinds of things that they had to encounter. They had to encounter people opposing them. And the people that were opposing them wasn't that uncircumcised Philistine that could care less about God and care less about God's people. It was the ones who said that they knew God themselves that they met the greatest opposition. They're all drunk. They're mad. They're out of their minds. Peter said, man, we might get drunk. No. He said, no, we don't get drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. But he said, this is that. He took them to the word. So when people come to you and say, that ain't right, that ain't for today, just tell them, no, this is that. You know, yeah. You tell me where you get your doctrine from, I'll show you where I get mine from. This is that. This is what? This is what Joel prophesied, and this is what Jesus manifests. This is that. This is the Holy Ghost operating on the inside. Now, the thing about it is with that manifestation, there's also some demonstration in the person's life, as well as the works that they do. Because you're not going to be speaking in tongues that are of the Holy Ghost and then acting and living like a devil. It just don't go together. You have some other spirit, but it does not negate the power of the Holy Ghost. It does not mean that speaking in tongues is wrong or of the devil. Look at the character. I've shared it before. Kenneth Hagin, who's now with the Lord now, him and another pastor used to talk about those Pentecostals down the way because, you know, they were praying in these tongues and stuff and babbling and things like that. And then one day it just dawned on Kenneth Hagin, and he said, you know, it might be funny that these people were talking about, you know, that they're of the devil because they speak in tongues. They live cleaner lives than we do. So there is going to be some fruit. So before we argue it down, let's see if there's some fruit in this person's life. Amen. Let's see if they really believe in what they believe in, because you can't be saying you love Jesus and then go out here and act like the devil. Amen. So here we are. Here we are. This is what it's all about, and this is what it comes down to. I got 2 minutes to share this with you. Jesus said he would give the church power in order to be an effective witness unto him. And he said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So, what some may believe is that, we'll see, they did their part, and now we have the canon of scripture, so now we don't need all of these other things, and all of a sudden we make the Holy Spirit our intellect. The Holy Ghost is way above your IQ. You can't even put an IQ on the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, some of the things that God will tell us to do by way of the Holy Spirit will seem crazy to our natural mind. But when we do it and see God's results, our minds are blown and God is glorified. So, we don't want to put limitations on him. You know, tongues is simply the initial manifestation of his presence within an individual. We say it like this because that's how it happened on the day of Pentecost. We say tongues are the initial manifestation of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, it does not mean that a person that has not been baptized with the Holy Ghost is not saved. It doesn't mean they're not saved. But you have to always be on the edge like a little baby wanting more if he's got more to give. You can't just stop at where you are and think that I've arrived. No. No, as long as we are in these earthly tabernacles, there's still more to God that he wants to reveal to us to make us more like Jesus and to carry out his will. God could care less about you owning a business, and I'm not saying anything negative about that, so don't nobody run out of here saying, oh, he's trying to come. No, businesses are good. They finance the kingdom. Hello? Praise God. When you work, not only do you eat, but the church eats too. Glory to God. So this is not anti-business. But the thing of it is that there's a business greater than all businesses, and that's kingdom business. And God is into saving souls everywhere. There's not a single person in Antioch, Oakley, Brentwood, Pittsburgh, Bay Point, or any other surrounding cities that we may live in. There's not a single person that Jesus wants to go to hell. So he gives us the power of the Holy Ghost in order to make it as difficult as possible for that person to get there. Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts are manifest. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecies, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, if you will. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the other gifts are manifest. And these are things that blow people's minds. These are things that make people say, how did he know that? Was he in the car when we were talking? Or how did this person know that about me? It's because the Spirit of God is revealing things through the people of God in order to talk to this person to convince them that they need to get saved. Because this is what the Father is all about. He wants souls saved. Now, if he's got to raise up businesses, if he's got to do other things in order to get soul save or open up doors of opportunity for you to get employed in a certain place, he will go to that extreme. He will. He'd be working at a job for 20 years and it's just one person that God wanted to get saved. They got saved and God sends you on your way. It don't have to be 20. It could be 2 days. Man, I got hired at this job. They liked me and all, and I witnessed to this person and they got saved, and then I got my walking papers. He just wanted to use you to get that person saved. He might want to use you to get the entire region saved. He might want to use you to turn Contra Costa County upside down for Jesus. Amen? Don't go to that place thinking that I've got this by my education. I've got this by my talents, gifts, and ability. No, by the grace of God and the favor of God, he's opened up the door for me to be here. I'm on assignment. I may be here tomorrow. I may not be. But while I'm here, I'm on assignment from God. And the Holy Ghost empowers us to do that. You know, we're trying to get the young ones so that they can turn their schools upside down. They do everything to try and keep the older out. And they want to brainwash the young ones into believing in perversion and sexual immorality and believe in all of this other ungodly stuff that when the church shows up, they just get in the way and mess stuff up. They tell you you're wrong. The real church. I'm talking about the real church. I'm not talking about the church that has watered things down and said, well, it could be okay. Well, maybe. Maybe God has had a change of mind. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's trying to raise up a people that will think the same way. He says what he means, it means what he says. Okay, I'm 3 minutes overtime. I didn't get to the message, but hey, you got enough to celebrate Pentecost. Amen? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If there's anybody in here who's not baptized with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance, and you are saved and you want it, I'm praying right now that the Holy Ghost will just move through this congregation. We don't have to take nobody in the back room because there's nothing to hide from. Amen. All we need is just an assembly of people who are of one heart, one mind, and one accord that people can receive. Time won't permit me to go into how we're resisting the Spirit of the living God. He doesn't want to be resisted. He wants to be invited. He wants to be welcomed. He wants liberty and freedom in us. Don't fight him with worldly ways and worldly desires. Admit it, it's not right, and let the Holy Ghost do his work. Amen? So if you're here and you want the baptism, I pray that during this time, God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you need to. You know that you need to. You know that if you died today, you don't know where you would go. Your parents would have to try and scramble to find a preacher to say, you know, did my son go to heaven? Or my daughter go to heaven? Not if they rejected Jesus. But if they receive Jesus, they're in glory. But there might be somebody in this place who's never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So, saints of God, if you just, you know, bow your head. Shayla, you coming to give your life to Jesus? Is that why you come? Oh, Jesus. You know, I like that kind, because that's kind of like when Peter when Peter went to Cornelius' house and he says, well, you know that we Jews should have nothing to do with you Gentiles. But then he starts to talk and God lets him say just enough. And then, bam, he hits him with the Holy Ghost because Peter was delaying the thing. She came. There's somebody else here. Somebody else here who needs to receive Jesus. You come on down. Stay right here, Shayla. Amen. Can you give my God praise for what he's doing in Arista's life? It may seem small in your eyes, but it's big in his. And for QLM, 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 you know the desires of his heart. You heard him talk about it. Come on, there's somebody else. Praise God. All right, eyes closed. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hate to put people on blast. Young man with the cap on, the P. Are you saved? Don't you want to give your life to Jesus, man? Come on up. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. How about over here? How about over here, sir? Are you saved? Yes. Would you like to give your life to Jesus? Don't, amen. Come on. How about you? Are you saved? You are saved? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? I picked them out because they haven't been here before. And I didn't even pick Shayla out. I meant to acknowledge Aristus and his daughter earlier. That's a blessing. You know, this is instilling faith and hope in Aristus right now. It's giving him, you know, a reason, more of a reason to believe and more of a reason to be the man that God called him to be. Hallelujah. You know, daughters are precious. They can drive daddies nuts. I speak from personal experience because daddies love their daughters. Sons gravitate to their moms, but daddies love their daughters. They get underneath their heart. And, yeah. I'm praying for promotion for your daddy. I'm praying that God will restore to him all the years that the devil has devoured of his life so that he'll be the father that you'll look up to and the father that you'll love. The father that you'll respect, the one that you'll be saying, that's my daddy. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's your name again? Willie. Willie. Praise God. Willie, how old are you? 21 years of age. Just the right age for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And over here, James. James, how old are you, James? 21. Look at that. I told you just right here. We got two 21-year-olds.
You're 21 for real? You're 21 for real? Yeah. You know what the big thing was when I turned 21? It wasn't good. The big thing was now I'm legally an adult. Now I can go into the liquor store and flash my license, but I looked old enough before that. But then I was like, yeah, you know, that was my thing then. And it was, I think, 3 years later, boom, Jesus took over. Gave my life to Jesus and never regretted it. Amen. That was at 24. Praise God. As they would say, in the prime of life. But I gave my life to Jesus and never looked back. And I'm so thankful. I've celebrated 30 years with him now. And it's been good. And if you, from the depths of your heart, and you as well, Shayla, from the depths of your heart, receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, your life is not going to be the same. See this young lady over here, standing by here, your sister. Sometimes it's the right time, season, and moment. Like I was talking about earlier about that portal where the Lord will pass by. Not saying that you won't get another opportunity, but when you seize the moment, boom, instantly you just, Jesus just takes in, he comes in, he takes over. And that's what you see. Your sister came. As a matter of fact, we sent what we call TFT Special Ops, who went out into the streets to evangelize in the evening. And they saw her and witnessed to her. She said she wanted to come to church, and she honored her word. She came to church the next day. It was a portal. It was an opportunity, and she seized the moment. The Lord was passing by. It's the first time we've done something like this as a unit. And there were about 17 in the force that went out. And she was one of those that they snatched out of the enemy's camp and brought into the kingdom of God. She came that Sunday. Mom came that Sunday night for prayer. Dad came the next Sunday with brother, and now next Sunday she brought her son, and this Sunday she said, I'm believing my brother's going to come. She is what we would say is on fire. She's not only come out, but she's trying to bring everybody that she can. And so I say that not to put you on blast or put her on blast or anything like that, but I'm just saying that portal is open. You came in. Things cannot be the same for you any longer. Cannot. I don't know what it was like before, but it's going to be different now in Jesus' mighty name. All right. How old are you, Shayla?
13.
Just above 10 times better. We're ready for some head-on collision with Yahweh. Amen. Praise God. Get you in our youth and young adult group and watch you glorify Jesus. Amen. That you'll live the rest of your days for Jesus. Praise God. I haven't seen you since you were a little baby. So to see you now, it's like, wow. Amen. So I'm going to lead you three in a prayer. And you just have to be sincere in your heart. Okay? And Jesus is going to touch you right where you are. Now, for those of you that would want the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you have not received your heavenly language, what I want you to do is begin to pray that the Lord will, this day, this time, this moment, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You don't need to see the fire come and sit down in your lap or sit upon you. That was his initial entrance. He's here now. Now you're just in the posture and position of receiving. Just receive. And as you receive, when you start to feel his presence, because his presence will, it'll cause your belly to rumble, it'll cause your tongue to move, it'll cause heat on the top of your head, it'll feel like fire, your ears may feel like a sense of warmness, your face may get hot,
your throat may start to tingle. Your belly may begin to rumble. Something will manifest, and that's him. It's not the devil. It's him. It's not you getting nervous. It's him, and he's rumbling because he's ready to give you the utterance. You speak as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it can be gradually. It just depends on your mindset and the ability to receive. But he's here for all of us. Amen? Did you have anything before I stop? Amen. All right, repeat this after me. James, Shayla, and Willie. Heavenly Father, I want you to say it loud. Say it from your heart. I don't mean, you don't have to do it like this. Heavenly Father, you don't have to do it that loud, but say it, you know, with some meaning. Like you're pleading for your life. Heavenly Father, I come before you this day in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And now I receive your son Jesus into my heart, into my life. Lord Jesus, make me a new creation. Make old things pass away. I give you my life. I give you my all. I make you my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Redeemer. I owe my life to you. And I'm going to live for you as you show me how. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and power that I may be a witness for you all the days of my life. I commit my life to you and I live for you from this moment forward. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. If you meant it, you are sincere, you're saved. Right now, Jesus is writing your names in the Lamb's Book of Life, in his precious blood, and in the presence of angels, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing in heaven, and there's rejoicing here on earth. Congratulations. You just got born again. You just got born again. You just got born again. Don't go nowhere yet. Y'all ready to go? You ready to run? Oh, go preach the gospel then. No. Father, I cover each one of them in the blood. I cover Willie. I cover Shayla. I cover James in the precious blood of Jesus. I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened to know the hope of your calling. That they'll know the joys of the inheritance of the saints and the exceeding greatness of power that you have towards us who believe. That very power that you used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead now lives and abides within them. Now I pray, Lord God, that you'll take them deeper in their walk and relationship with you. That, Lord, you'll reveal yourself to them on a daily basis. I pray for a hunger and a thirst for you. A hunger and a thirst for your presence. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that the devil will not be able to touch them. I cover them in the blood. Be with them as a wall of fire and a hedge of protection. Be the glory in their midst. Lord, let the angel of God encamp about them to watch over them and guard and protect them in all of their ways. Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. In your mighty name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. Come on, let's rejoice with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, glory. I'm going to do something by faith. And you receive by faith. I'm just going to do something as simple as count to three. And then when I count to three, you all speak in your heavenly language. For those of you that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you had the opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit or to be baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. So you've already made your petition known, or you should have. When I count to three, you speak what comes. Don't speak with your understanding, your own dialect. Speak what comes. Speak what comes. Open up your mouth and speak, and the Holy Ghost is going to give you the utterance. I'm not talking you through something. I'm going by faith with this. Brother Isaiah, I did this with him years ago when we were over at the Ramada Inn. You remember that? At the Ramada Inn, he wanted to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I said, on the count of three, you're going to be baptized. And I did one, two, three, and boom, instantly he started praying in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I don't know if that was the same Sunday I laid hands on him afterwards or before. And it would have had to been afterwards, because he was like, what's wrong? Drunk. Under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. So all you got to do is say, Lord, I believe. I'm ready to receive. In Jesus' name. All right. On the count of three. You ready? And everybody else that's been baptized is going to pray. Deacon Aquino, give me some, you know, good going. One. Two. Three. Breshi karanabakondo riasi karanabako tarabaha. Brako korabakata riasi karanabakondo riasi karanabaka. Breke karanabakondo riasi karanabakondo riasi karanabako. Robaralabasanda riasi karanabakondo riasi karanabako. Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. It may look crazy. It may seem foreign. It may seem strange. But if you'll trust the Spirit of the living God, if you'll trust Jesus, he will give you your heavenly language. Now, if you want it and it haven't manifest, raise your hand. We'll come and lay hands on you. And if you don't want it, praise God. We love you still. Hallelujah. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody said, all right. Is it that simple? Yeah. It happened even faster on the day of Pentecost. Because as soon as the Spirit sat on them in fire, they all began to speak. It's just that simple. We make it complicated because we try to figure things out. The Holy Ghost will blow your mind. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that you brought our way. We give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord lift up his counsel on you, and the Lord give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For you are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you shall triumph over the gates of hell. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you. We send you away in victory and in faith. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord.